Let us continue in the vein we have been laboring for some time now and for some time to come. Take your document. Repeat after me, Scripture comprehensions of measures.
Scripture comprehensions of measures.
The matrix.
The matrix.
Let's go again, page 9. Gonna do a little review this morning. Know it may seem that we're moving awfully slow. Some things you have to move very slow through. This is portion of the dissertation that we must make sure that we have grasped it in order to move forward. Understand things that we are talking about. Also, today we are going to go back where we were last week. In fact, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we were in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Seeking to tie all of this together, we have given you from the glossary of definitions and terminology, and I hope that those of you who are here, as well as those that are following by way of the webcasts and audio ministries, that you will go through and actually become very familiar with these terms. Aim is to bring us into the sense of true and genuine reality. What is real? What is really, really real? What is really, 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 really real? Amen. Versus what must be confusing to those who have the proclivity to walk by sight rather than faith. Hallelujah. Remember, we have two views as we are going through the dissertation. The first with this matrix viewing, which our minds and our human makeup readily resonates with. Those are the things that are happening around us each day. Things that we are viewing and observing, and that our mind is in the physical, secular sense, a mind trying to make some sense out of it. Things that are happening in the world through the news medium, either by radio, television, or through the internet, each day we are bombarded with what we view to be authentic representations. And they are only virtual. We dealt with the difference between that which is virtual and what is real. Amen. And the essence of what is in the matrix, what we call life, is virtuality. Not reality. There's a big difference between virtuality and reality. Mm-hmm. Virtuality is that which is in manifestations. Mm-hmm. Those things that we are so familiar with. as they are before us in observation. Reality is what we have coined on the front of the document. Again, those who are watching, you can go to our website, gracegospelministry.com, and go into our section there that deals with the webcast. There's an icon, and you click on it, and this entire document comes up before you. On the front cover, we have matrix viewing, which we have just explained to you what that is. And the opposite view is scripture. Everybody says scripture viewing. Matrix viewing is what we see. Scripture viewing is what God has said. Matrix viewing is an illusion. In most instances, this is why Paul said we're not looking at it. So we're not looking at the things being seen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Because the thing that we are so-called looking at and observing is temporary. Mm-hmm. Said, but here you have the strong adversative conjunction there, Allah. But means that you're going in the opposite direction of what you just said.
Yeah.
We are looking at the things not being seen. That is with the natural naked eye. They are seen, but they are seen through the eyes of faith. This is what we have here before us this morning. Again, everybody says scripture viewing. Matrix viewing is not dependable. Scripture viewing is all dependable. Amen. Let's go just briefly there to that Romans again, and let's go to the bottom of page 9. See that figure at the bottom of page 9? It's called similarity summations. Everybody says similarity.
Summations.
Well, Pastor, what are you talking about then? Well, what does that mean? Go to the top of page 10. Where it says these identity. Everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
These identity are similarity summations forums. The notch in between data points. We're on the matrix. Now we're into the matrix. And we're here and we're given the explication that has been drawn from the exegesis. These notch in between data points, including what we call position-specific patterns and non-patterns of varied substitutions. I remember when we dealt with the definitions in the matrix, everything in the matrix is about representation. It's virtual. It's there for testimonial effects. Is there in process, but it does not give us any specifics regarding purpose. And so, because of this, it causes us being a lot of confusion. Confusion comes because we are looking into the matrix and we are trying to make sense out of matrix viewing without the aid of scripture viewing.
Thank God.
I'm going to use a word here, and I didn't get it into the glossary definition. It's called syncretism. Everybody says syncretism.
Syncretism.
Say it again.
Syncretism.
That is the attempted reconciliation, a union of different opposing principles or practices. This is when you have two or more categories in a specified environment and you're trying to bring them all together and make some consistency out of it. And when it doesn't happen, it confuses us. You look into the you look into the processes, and we'll say it worked this way this time, well, it'll work that way next time. And when it doesn't, it confuses us. You may look and you say, this is the way it should be, and this is what brings about the disappointments, because everything in the matrix, as it relates to entities being in and of themselves, inconsistent. There's nothing consistent. In other words, if you look at a thing or anything on the basis of it abiding in the essence of itself, it never gives you any consistency. And that is because nothing in life is of itself. Everything in life is according to purpose.
All right.
It's not there to operate independently Amen. Of the one who placed it there.
Amen.
And the one who placed it there for purpose.
Amen.
And this confuses us. Let's go to that 8th chapter of Romans as we deal with similarity summations. Everybody say it again. Similarity.
Similarity.
Summations. You say, well, we can sum this all up because this and this comes together and this is how we bring this together. And you know, like when we're trying to solve our daily problems.
Right.
Right. And you think you got that thing right and it blows up in your face. Now you have a very bad day and maybe a very bad week. Amen. Because you think this is the way it must work. Again, everybody says similarity summations.
Similarity summations.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Elder, read that. Read verse 38 and 39 of Romans chapter 8. We've been through this, and I'm bringing this in order for us to tie in and understand what the apostle is saying in this verse. Amen.
For I am persuaded.
That's from the King James. Okay, you're going to read from the King James first, and then the Greek interlineal. All right, everybody got Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Say amen. All right, follow closely now. Read.
For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth.
Now stop. Here, when you take all of these variants, what we have construed in our mind are panaceas and formulas for dealing with them. Mankind has for ages.
Yeah.
And yet, he has not been able to deal with any of it as bringing it in to some type of similarity summation. He's not been able to syncretize any of it. To bring it together, to arrange it where you can deal with it rather than it driving you crazy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Father, now, Follow closely this morning. Amen. Keep reading, Elder.
Death nor any other creature shall be...
Any other thing. What?
Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then he goes on in verse 39, and he says what?
No height, no
depth,
no any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Let's go to the Greek, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's go to the Greek.
For I have been persuaded.
Now here we're getting into scripture viewing. Again, everybody says scripture viewing.
Scripture viewing.
Been persuaded, what?
That not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things coming, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature other will be able us to separate from the love of God in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us.
Okay, so basically here he has taken these variants that are in the matrix and he has summed them up. Not in the sense of five ways how to deal with any of them. A some prescription for bringing about that which you think will work in some manner to bring some consistency. In fact, as you look at them, in the human sense and vernacular, there is no controlling. There is no sense of being able to control any of it.
That's right.
I like the part where he said, after he finished the variance, in case he left anything out, he said, not any other in creation, anything else that's out there.
Right.
But he brings it to a summation, and the bottom line of that summation is none of this will be able to separate me from the love of God.
That's right.
This is dealing with scripture viewing that is there and no ultimate harm from it can come to you.
All right.
Now, when you start talking like that, you lose some folk because, you know, our assessment of God is based upon how well my body is. And nobody want to be any more healthy than I do. But in the matrix, there is sickness.
Sure.
In the matrix, there are problems.
Yeah.
There are challenges. But they're not just there. They are there for purpose. And the ultimate purpose of that which would work against you, amen, cannot occur.
Amen.
So in the sense that God has placed them there for his purpose in our lives shows that they are controllable and they actually will work for us instead of against us.
Glory to God. Yes. Thank God. Amen.
Whatever they are, you can throw them in the same bag.
Amen.
Bottom line, cannot separate us from the love of God.
Thank God.
And that should mean something to God's people this morning.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
persuaded is in the perfect tense. It's in the passive voice.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what scripture viewing does. It brings you into the essence of realization of what God is doing, which is the most important, versus what we think he should do. God has set the agenda.
Yes.
Now, just being human, there are many things I wish God would do them in a different way. I didn't make the universe. You didn't make the universe.
No, God did.
Amen. It is his agenda, not our agenda.
Amen. Amen.
But then when we look past what is in the matrix and see the essence of what life is, we know that he has worked all things together for good because he has caused us to love us. Paul said, he has persuaded me that he loved me from the eternity. He chose me. He placed me in the body of Christ, and nothing can come against me. And whatever is out there, he is greater. Can you say greater? All my problems, all my troubles, and everything that is there is purpose. Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Now here's what we have to do. In scripture viewing, we have to learn the lesson of being in conformity to God's will.
God's will.
I know many of God's people that don't like that.
No,
like I heard a noted minister, I won't call his name, man, he said, as soon as you say, Lord, if it be your will, you have just destroyed the prayer of faith.
I heard that. Oh, heaven,
Lord. No. The thing is, we need to learn how to pray.
Amen.
In the same passage, it tells us that we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for. And he has given us, as part of our benefits, the Holy Spirit, amen, to intercede for us in relationship to our communication with God, amen, to clean up our act, amen, of really many times revolting against God, amen, and almost having the mendacity to almost charge him. Because of the quagmire of things that we get burdened down with, we almost lose sight, amen, and not comprehend that everything that he does is working for us, not against us.
Amen.
Now, if that's not true, this just that part in there, where, you know, it said he works of all things together for good, just tear it out. Either we say, oh, God didn't have nothing to do with that. The minister said that. God didn't have anything to do with that. I would hate to think that there's anything that goes on that God has nothing to do with.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The essence of our lives is that everything has been ordered, which constitutes what creation is. Time itself is a creation. And the purpose of time is that these are the processes that God has placed in them concerning us, amen, for testimonial purposes.
Amen.
And so whatever is happening in your life, whatever is going on, is there for purpose.
Amen.
It's not some random act.
Amen.
That God has allowed.
Okay.
If I had done this, that wouldn't have happened. This and then like we have been taught that we are participators.
Right.
And this is why it's so important, and we are praying that we'll be able to really, really focus in on where our focus should be and how we view things. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. We were there last week. Let's go back there again. And much of the problem is that these translations, when they get to Paul's epistles, they were vary from the script, because we want to stay in the matrix. And when Paul is talking, even when he is speaking about things in the matrix or things in life, they are being spoken from the view of eternality. Eternity, where everything is fixed. Eternality, where everything actually abides.
Amen.
Versus in time, in the matrix, where we have all of these processes.
All right.
And you mix the process up with God's purpose, and this is what causes so much trepidation.
Yeah.
Do not mix up God's process from his purpose. All right. Elder, read that. Just read that verse there. The clock is moving on me. Amen. Read.
For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly than you were.
Now understand this. That's the translation. Let's go to the Greek.
For the boasting of us.
Everybody got it, amen? So Pastor, this is almost like a Bible study. Look, we need to get this.
Numbers,
man.
Thank God.
So that we can deal with things and live our lives in joy and rejoicing in the God of our salvation.
That's it. Amen.
And then we don't have to have a synthetic praise.
Right.
It's a real praise.
Right. Real praise.
I praise is genuinely from the heart, based upon knowledge.
Amen.
That's right.
And the praise becomes consistent regardless of what is happening in my life.
Amen.
Whatever's happening in our lives, our praise should be consistent. All right, read that from the Greek.
For the boasting of us, this is the testimony of the conscience of us, because in sanctity and sincerity of God, not in wisdom fleshly, but in the grace of God, we behave, and in the world more especially, and with you.
Mm-hmm. All right, you see that expression that we behave here many times. You may see some other declensions of that word, some similarity declensions of that word. And in the King James, it said, we have our conversation. That means how we live, our manner of life. Here, that Greek word is anistrophemi. Anistrophemi. It's really translated how we live, how we basically, not literally how we live, but how our lifestyles, how we function. Here you have that which is a concentration. Now notice in the first part of this verse, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience. Here, he directs us to what our lives really are in process as we learn. The testimony of our conscience. Everybody said the testimony of our conscience.
The testimony of our conscience.
Actually, as we've said before, and for those that might be watching or listening, very closely, follow us. What is in the matrix or what is in time is really testimonial representations and processes according to God's purpose. Break it down. What you're going through each and every day is not happening at the time that you see it. These are design processes that are tied and reflective of God's decree where things actually abide. A thing is real, it has come into reality, it has come into existence solely or exclusively by and through God's word. The only way it can exist is that God has said it. So when we look at scripture viewing, we go to the word of God, and this is what we compare things with, and this is what the apostle is saying as he speaks about conscience, which is focused not so much in the matrix as it is in God's word to guide us through the matrix. The reality is where God dwells in eternity and is in eternality where everything is. Nothing is really in time. Time itself is a creation. And you have these frames. I've got an article that I kept. I'm going to pass out at some point. They've got a new camera now that they have invented that it can do 1 trillion frames a second. Yes, I said it. So now you're into nanoseconds. And that's in the physical. And what has happened is that we do not understand the difference between actualization by God's decree in eternity and manifestation in time. Are the difference between what you see that you call the real and the real deal. Amen. Pastor, you're way out there this morning. Well, come on out. Let's walk out there a while. Get this thing together. Then life will stop beating you up so much.
Oh, man.
You see, we have tried to separate and we call time an entity and actually have put time on an equal plane with eternity. Time is a creation.
Yes, it is.
And when you say space, just as space is a creation, time is a creation, but you can't separate, and Mr. Einstein was right there, you can't separate time from space. And so in these nanoseconds of multi-frames, you have time-space frames. And in each one of those little increments, God has placed something there for purpose. And so time is not moving. Our conscience is moving for the purpose of testimony. This is what the apostle is saying. Our conscience is moving through the frame. Everybody said now.
Now.
It's gone. Then
now,
it's gone too. The now, each increment of now is a frame with all of these entities of things that are in them for the purpose of testimony. And it is your conscience that's moving through. That's why it's no difference between 2012 and 1912, AD 12. They're all, some, y'all looking at me straight, been placed there. It's all now. Everybody said eternal now.
Eternal now.
Placed there for the purpose of our the testimony as our conscience moves through. That is the only thing that is moving. This is how the matrix works. This is how life works. Everything has always been there. Mm-hmm. From the design of God.
Right, right.
I know your conscience can't turn around and go back to 1912. It can only move forward.
Mm-hmm.
As it moves through these frames. Mm-hmm. Now, when we understand that, then whatever is in each frame is not there to destroy you.
Amen.
It's not there to annihilate you. It's there to inform you in the essence of what we see from whatever angle we're looking at depends upon what it communicates to our mind. You're looking at something and you think that's the what that is, and that's not what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Is there more for purpose than what it purports to be?
Amen.
In other words, a thing is more about what its purpose is than what it seems to be. I might not understand purpose in many things, and of course, as I go through life, I'm just like everybody else. I look at things and say, woo. What is this? And then the word of God comes to correct me. What is this for?
Amen. Amen.
Not what is this? It's like saying, God, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, Lord, you are the majestic, supreme one. And whatever you do, amen. Now, this kind of preaching is not going to fill the house. And some say, well, that just turns me off. And well, then you go and be turned off and keep on going through the matrix and
right.
through the maze and everything. And each time it gets more and more confusing. And your life becomes even more and more combobulated in whatever you're in. And live in misery.
Right.
If that's what you want to do, then do it.
Right.
But the essence of this information is for us to live in peace and joy and tranquility, not based upon the things that are around us, but based upon the essence of what God from eternity has accomplished for us.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
What do you think the apostle would say that, we're in the world, but what? We're not of the world. What do you think he's saying? Well, we'll break that down one of these days.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
This is not your world.
No.
I hear you. I hear you.
No.
It's not a world.
Well, I'm in it, but you're not of it.
I hear you.
Oh, come on, man.
Preach it now.
Purpose takes you beyond
yes.
the entropies
yes.
that you observe in this life.
Yes.
The so-called disorders. Notice here, said a testimony of our conscience that in singleness and sincerity. King James and some of the translations have got simplicity. That's not what Paul said. He's talking about where we should focus. In singleness and sincerity of confidence that belong to God. Is that the Genesis case there, Brother Deacon? That belong to God. Instead of us looking at things, all God help us to learn to look at God. That is, the focus is on what God and what God is doing.
Right.
God's not playing a game.
Oh, no.
But that thing came up to just toy with you.
Oh.
You know, like some humans do, when the ones that have power, they just toy with people. You know, and I've heard discussions that say, we're not no robot. God, you have people thinking that we're some robot and God's just spinning us like little tops and so forth. No. Especially you, amen, who are vessels of his mercy.
Amen.
Everything works for you.
Amen.
Sickness work for me? Yes. If I'm broke, is that working for me? Yes.
Yeah.
If it's there, it's working for you, not against you.
Right.
Here's what he's saying here. That to focus on the singleness of God, I must focus away from something. Follow as it reads here.
Glory to God.
Singleness and sincerity
of God.
What?
And not in wisdom.
Not in what?
Fleshly.
Not in fleshly or human wisdom.
That's right.
Here you're trying to perform acts of syncretism, of bringing things together to make some sense of them. And you're using human wisdom. No, the longer you look at things in human wisdom, only in human wisdom, the dumber you get.
I hear you.
Not the smarter you get, the dumber you get.
I hear you.
You start out confused and you end up more confused.
Uh-huh. Amen.
As to what you're looking at.
That's
right.
Amen. So not in fleshly wisdom, but what? Read.
Fleshly, but in the grace of God.
But you have, amen, adversity, conjunction there, but what?
In the grace of God.
In the grace of God. Speaking about the grace contract. That which is in the grace of God.
Amen.
God's purpose is in the grace of God.
Amen.
Your life as a member of the body of Christ is situated in the grace of God.
Amen.
The processes of life, no matter how much they seem to bombard you, they're all in the grace of God. He said, we have behaved anistrophemi, That is, Brother Deacon, you got your... We have behaved, or we have acted, or we have functioned, but not us. What is that, Brother Deacon?
Aorist indicative passive.
That's aorist. What's the aorist tense?
Completed
action. What is the indicative mood?
The fact.
Mm-hmm. Is a completed fact.
Mm-hmm.
What voice is it in?
Passive
voice. As you learn this, it causes you to walk according to this comprehension. Paul wasn't crazy. In jail, talking about rejoice. Encouraging others. And this other verse said, I have been, that is, haven't been persuaded. Paul knew Paul. He understood, amen, that this stuff was enough to drive him crazy and discourage him. And if he was acting differently, it wasn't Paul. Which means that as you learn and as these truths, are basically internalized, God causes you to internalize them, it will cause you to live different, act different, and think different.
Amen.
He could rejoice because he knew that those things that were there, they were not really there. Even to the end. He knew what it was about. God calls him to know what it's about. And you know, like you go into the, what's that, 12th chapter of Hebrews, and they, many of them preach and they talk about the heroes of faith. There are no heroes of faith.
No. None.
In fact, don't use that word hero. Unless you're calling God a hero.
Amen.
Thank God.
There are no human heroes.
Oh, no.
I hear you.
Oh, no.
Every one of those persons in that 12th chapter of Hebrews that did anything positive, they were caused to do it.
Amen.
Anything in your life that's of a positive nature, God has overruled depravity and caused you to move. And this is, amen, what this is basically conveying to us.
Yes, it is.
Now, the first thing let's do is go into the matrix. And let's see how things are arranged. And while we're there, we are looking at them from the vantage point of eternality. And the fact that these are just frames and things are in them for purpose. Let's go back to the top of page 10. Again, these identity, are you with me? Are similarity, summations, forums notched in between data points, including position specific patterns and non patterns of varied substitutions. So you see what's going on in the matrix now, okay? These estimate the possible residue of each as their accepted mutation in blocks of scoring these, their sequence alignments in insoluble solutions, or insoluble factions, I should say, of composited materialism. These are things that are there and they arrange. Some of them seem to match, some of them don't. Some of them seem in patterns and others don't. And you know what? It doesn't even matter because purpose controls everything.
Everything.
Some things are in a pattern, and you think it's going to work out one way, it works out another way. And you see something you think is all messed up, and that thing works out beautifully. No, it's all driven by purpose. Follow this. Hence, the physically, circularly mold in cast, a shape conveys an environment in which The thing is developed in this entire subculture of resonation of awareness, but its effect is merely a cultural phenomenon. Understatement. It's an understatement. Everything that you see, you look at it and say, "Woo, death!"
Yeah.
It's an understatement.
It is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Why? How can death be an understatement? Because it can't separate you from the love of God.
Yeah, I hear you.
It can't change your status in the Bible, body of Christ.
Glory to God.
And it's death for purpose.
Yes, man. Yes.
Follow. These interactions are off-topic effects that are simply misconstrued as realized actions within themselves, and they're not. Nonetheless, abiding realities. Everybody say abiding realities.
Abiding realities.
How we separate what's the virtue from the real. Abiding realities. If it's real, it's survivable. If it's not survivable, it's not real. If that thing is there one moment and gone the next, it was never there. Oh, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, you know what? I sat on this for several years, but you know, I'm not going to be daunted by the fact that we are dealing with the unseen. I mean, after all, you went to the movie, didn't you? The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Huh? And Paul said, we're not looking at these things.
Right.
We're looking at what's real.
What's real.
The unseen.
Right. Right.
The Matrix is the seen,
yeah,
and it's not real. It's
there
for effect. Mm-hmm. It's virtually there, but it's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as its purpose is fulfilled, it's gone. Follow this. Nonetheless, abiding realities. Everybody say abiding realities again.
Yeah.
Abiding realities claim a deeper pool than these metaphysical searches for meanings and their restricted infusions of cultures. Superficially, such directs and avails everything in time-measured parameters and also characterize all projections to epics birthed mainly in the infantile mind of humankind conceptualization. They are not what we make them out to be.
Right.
Not when we view them as things within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is within itself.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is within God's purpose. I think we repeat that. That nothing is within itself.
Nothing is within
itself. Because everything is within God's purpose.
Because everything is within God's purpose.
God help us. So that we don't live in fear and trepidation.
Right.
Give me a few more minutes. I'm going to go through this next paragraph here. And then we're going to bail out for the day. And we're going to come back here. We'll go 2-3 sessions in. Because it's no use to me moving to the next section of these narrations, except we get this. Because we have left the physical sphere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even though we are viewing things in the physical sphere, we are viewing them from the eternal sphere. In other words, we are viewing physicality from the vantage point of spirituality. Because as we look at these things, we're looking at what was not from the basis of what is. That second paragraph there. Though the physical secular so viewed functionality of these measures, the matrix, reads and communicates resonations of human philosophy incessantly. And they align interestingly in endeavoring to scrutinize them in discernible context. There, and here's the word that we used this morning, their syncretism of Gnostic elements falter in certification of comprehensiveness. Now, they some that have viewed our material and our ministry in there as we have outlaid and we put everything in writing here, they have said, you know, those folks are practicing theosophies. Okay, now what you do is you label somebody to try to dismiss them. Theosophy basically means mysticism. And they said it because we use terminology on the basis of things that really are, not being the things that we view that are. So now we're in the mysticism. If that thing was real within itself, maybe we'd be able to figure out a few things. But really, we can't. Sometimes, and when you think you got it figured out, that thing comes back. And you got to start from scratch all over again.
Yes.
You think you have the answer.
Right.
And then the thing blows up in your face.
Oh,
and you got to start from step one all over again. What is this? And you come full circle. And actually, you're dumber than you were before. As far as comprehension. All right, we follow this. We'll wrap this up. These schools of thoughts are not conducive to genuinely reliable reality. Here we have some questions. And we'll just pose them today and we'll deal with answering them next week. What do such actualization-wise bring to the table? All the things that we see and we view and we said. What does it bring to the table? Also, what issues does such artificial intelligence raise? Scientism that's running rampant and running opposite from what's in the scriptures. Also, what is actually abiding reality? Confirmed of the seed by a construction of something else's creation. What you see got there from something else. So this happened because that happened. Then why did that happen? Well, because that happened. Then why did that happen? Because that you can go into infinity with that type reasoning and questioning. Also, if such are the stakes, what are the outflows of survivability? If you're going to deal with everything there in the matrix, in the physical, in the secular, what's the likelihood of you coming out of this? Also, how can hospitability of security adequately be defined and such render in soul manifestations? How can you look in there and you come out with something that consistently makes sense in life? You know, life doesn't make sense. That's because we're talking about what's in the matrix. And in itself, about purpose, it doesn't make sense. Remember the first one Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18, is Plato's, which is what? Which is what? purpose, which controls everything that's in the matrix. All right, finally, such barely touch these questions in their specifically focused sights in consideration of the numerous diversities in the physical secular mold, physical secular wide web of the matrix, of the masters. So there is nothing there that ties it in. So we look for answers in the scriptures. When we're looking for understanding, we're in the scriptures. Uh-huh. When we're looking for direction, we're in the scriptures. When we're looking for comfort, we're in the scriptures. When we're looking for consistency, we're in the scriptures. Because the only thing makes sense is reality. Virtuality of itself doesn't make sense.
That's it.
Now today we've gone through what some would call very didactic presentation. Mm-hmm. Deep teaching, they call it. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to get to the reality?
The reality.
Let's get to the reality of this thing, so that we can live our lives in joy, in rejoicing. And notice the first word Paul used in that verse there, rejoicing. Rejoicing in the testimony of my conscience. What my conscience is testifying and picking up is not bringing despair, but it's causing me to rejoice. And it looks like I'm going to lose everything I got.
All right.
I look beyond that. See God's purpose.
Right, right.
I see God working. I see God having already worked.
Uh-huh.
I see the completed essence,
yes,
of who I am,
right,
in the body of Christ as being more than who I am in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I see the completed essence of eternity,
right,
where all things are accomplished and nothing,
yeah,
is in process.
Thank God.
And this is why he said, and nothing, can you say nothing?
Nothing.
Can you say nothing?
Nothing?
Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, won't you just love him? Give him a praise.
Oh, glory be to God. Yeah, nothing.